Good morning and welcome to Easter in August service. Happy Easter, everybody. That's right. The way you respond is toot. That's awesome. Happy Easter. Our worship committee, as you know, has been working hard to bring us our drive-in worship services. And so, and we need to commend them and thank them and toot your horn again to the worship committee. Yes. They've done a great job, and so they thought since we were sequestered in our homes in April when Easter was officially celebrated, that we would celebrate our risen Lord in August. Well, whether you're here in our church parking lot or watching us on our streaming online version, we are glad you're worshiping with us today. Now, if you have a prayer request, we ask that you text 540-495-0501, and Pastor Susan will include your prayer request in our morning prayer. That's prayer request 540-495-0501. Let's begin our Easter celebration by singing our first song, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Say happy Easter in August, because he is risen, not only in April, but in June and October and December. He is risen at midnight and noon, even at 3:52 in the morning. He is risen when we feel like singing at the top of our lungs, and even when we don't. He is risen when we need him most, such as these days of the pandemic, and also in those heels dug in moments when we think we don't need him at all. He is risen, not for a day, but forever. We need a Savior like that, and thanks be to Jesus, we have one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can celebrate Easter every moment of every day of the year. We praise you that Easter is not about a people, but all people, that your love and your salvation are for all who confess with voices, hearts and lives that the tomb is empty because Jesus is risen, that we might know forgiveness, that lives might be reborn, and your name glorified now and for eternity. Amen. Won't you join us now for our next song, Glorious Day?
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Oh, glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hand that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. One thing
loved me,
dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious. glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
Good morning. How is everyone? Good, I hope. It's good to see you. You're like actually outside your car.
I love it. All right. This morning here, Easter on this nice fall slash summer day that we're having here, I wanted to share with you my favorite and, of course, probably the most popular Easter verse, which is Matthew 28, verses 6 and 7. So the two parts that are important here, it says, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So my two favorite parts, kiddos, are these. And we've talked about this before, so I know you remember this. But the most important part to me, I think, is he is not here. So this applies to us now, too, as we think about how Jesus had all of the pain and the suffering of being crucified on the cross. But he defeated death. And even though we are kind of doing a hard thing right now, some of us are going back to school and it's kind of scary. Some of us are not getting to go back to school and we have to do school at home. We miss our friends. Our family is kind of sometimes distracted and maybe confused by what's going on. But we can defeat all these hard things too, just like Jesus did, because he loves us. So we have the strength of his love and we can defeat those hard things. So we have to remember, he's not there. He was able to defeat death and we can do hard things too. The second part that is my favorite in those two verses in Matthew is that it says, go quickly and tell. So when you have friends that are saying it's hard and they're mad and they're sad, you can tell them that it's okay because Jesus loves us and we're going to get through all of this hard stuff together. So just like those women had to go tell everybody that Jesus was no longer in the tomb, we can do that too. We can say, even though this is hard and I know you're sad or scared, it's okay because we have the love of Jesus and we have our friends and our family. And so we can get through this hard time too. The other thing that I wanted to just remind you is a good thing to go back to, I think, because you're not always going to be able to tell people about the Bible verses in the same way. But you can also share a prayer with them if that's something that would make your friends feel more comfortable. So you have this jelly bean prayer, those of you that are here today. And I failed to give you a sweet treat. I probably should have done that. That probably would have made you feel better. But when you do your craft, you can remember that Jesus did do so much for us. And he defeated death. And with his love, we can be renewed too. So as you read through the jelly bean prayer, it says, red is for the blood he gave, green is for the grass he made, yellow for the sun so bright, orange for the edge of night, black for the sins we made, white for the grace he gave, purple for his hour of sorrow, and pink is for our new tomorrow. So as you think about celebrating Easter today and thinking about how we can get through hard stuff with Jesus's love, just remember all those things that he did do for us and that we will be okay. So let's see. I think that's all I wanted to say. So have a little prayer with me. God, please fill my heart and my life with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We love you and we praise you. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I have proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I have proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe.
Today, because we are Easter people, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and all of creation praises your name. Lord, we come to you and we hear your scripture and we remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and we take hope. Lord, when we despair, give us hope. Help us to hear these words from Paul and consider them and know that our hope is grounded in them. Lord, may my words be your words. May my message be your message. Amen. Yeah. When we had Easter in April, it was just me in a room with Danny and Dale, and there was no singing, so it's exciting to sing the songs, the Easter songs, that, you know, it seems like we wait all year to sing. And it's exciting. Or at least it's exciting to me. I hope it's exciting to you, too, to remember who we are, that we are people of the resurrection. Now, each year on the anniversary of Queen Victoria's death, her daughters would go to Frogmore, which is one of the royals' country houses, and there's a big mausoleum there. And one time on the anniversary of her death, they were in the mausoleum, they were kneeling to pray, and a dove flew into the mausoleum, and one of them said, "It's dear Mama's spirit." And they watched this lovely bird fly around, and Princess Louise said, "I'm sure it's not Mama's spirit." And the other one said, "No, I'm sure it is. It must be Mama's spirit here with us." And Louise said, "No, it isn't. Dear Mama's spirit would never have ruined Beatrice's hat like that." Well, as I think about how we face uncertainty, how we face the end of life as we once knew it, of all the things that the coronavirus has taken from us, one of the things that hit me hard came early on. And that was the death of singer-songwriter John Prine, who died April 7th of this year. He was 73 and a two-time cancer survivor, so when news came out that he'd contracted the virus, I was braced for bad news. Now, John Prine not mean much to people of a younger generation, but he meant something to me, part of my life. Now, my husband is the real music lover in the family. He tells this story about how he once broke up with a girl he dated in high school because she said that the Bee Gees were better than the Beatles. And that was, you know, there was more to it than that, I'm sure. But they had just gone to see the movie Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and he took Renee out for ice cream, and while they were eating it, she declared that the Bee Gees were better musicians than the Beatles, and that was the relationship deal breaker. Well, I recently found out, because I was listening to a recorded sermon of my husband's, that when we started dating, Mike secretly looked through my album collection. Yes, on actual vinyl. That's how old I am. And he looked at my albums just to make sure that I didn't have terrible taste in music. And when he saw that I had several Beatles albums and several John Prine records, he decided that the relationship really had a chance. And the thing about John Prine is that many of his songs are really like short stories that capture a moment. He has a song, I think it was on his first album, called Far From Me. And it tells the story of a boy who's waiting for his girlfriend to finish up closing the cafe where she is a waitress. And the song talks about how, you know, the radio's playing and she's cleaning things up and she turns off the cafe lights and they're out in the parking lot. And he has this thought in the song, why we used to laugh together and we danced to any old song. Well, you know, she still laughs with me, but she waits just a second too long. And it kind of captures the heartbreak of somebody who knows that the relationship is ended, but the other person hasn't quite had the nerve to break it to him yet. And John Prine wrote about this first girl that broke his heart in the song. He says, she made me a songwriter. And he often said when he introduced the song, about that line, you know, she still laughs with me, but she waits just a second too long. He says, if you've never experienced the end of a romantic relationship, this line might not touch you, but for the other 99.9% of us, it cuts deep. You can almost feel the love fading from that relationship right there in the parking lot dirt. And listening to the song, it's easy to imagine that nothing is going to spark this relationship back to life. It has died. But how fortunate that the pain of dying love was encapsulated in John Prine's heart, and in its aftermath, out of that death, a great songwriter was born. I would call that a resurrection moment. Well, as we talked about doing Easter in August, I wondered what it would be like to celebrate Easter without having 40 days of Lent, not having Ash Wednesday, not having Good Friday. And, you know, many preaching professors tell their students that you can't have the joy of resurrection without going to the cross and coming near to the pain of Jesus Christ on the cross, of the pain of crucifixion. But perhaps we have seen so much upheaval and uncertainty and suffering and death and unemployment and all of those things that we have been preparing since March for Easter to celebrate resurrection together. We have been living in a kind of Lent for the last 5 months. Now on that first Easter morning, the disciples and the women, they go to the tomb fully expecting to encounter a body, a dead body, a cadaver, if you will. And they intended to make sure that that dead body of their friend and teacher and mentor would be taken care of. This was before mortuaries and morticians, and so it was up to friends or family to care for the body of someone who had died. And so they go there with the spices to anoint the body, and then they will come back later, and when the body has decomposed, take the bones and put them in an ossuary, a bone box, and then it'll be buried. And so, even though Jesus had hinted at resurrection, even though he had said things like this temple, talking about his body, would be destroyed so God would raise it up again in 3 days, they didn't get it. And even though he urged them not to let their hearts be troubled, to believe in God, even though he told them that in his Father's house there are many dwelling places and that he was going to prepare a place for them, still they didn't understand and they didn't get it, even though they said, I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. And so there was no doubt in their minds that they would arrive at the tomb and they would find the lifeless body of Jesus. And they wouldn't need an expert to tell them how he died. They knew how he died. He'd been on a Roman cross, and while you go up on a cross alive, you come down off a cross dead. It's as simple as that. Jesus died. Jesus was dead. There was nothing that was going to change that reality, and that's the point that the Apostle Paul is driving home in this text when he speaks to the church some 25 to 30 years later, "For I handed on to you as of first importance what I have in turn received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried." And there should be a period there. That should be the end of the story, but we know it's not. We know that there was resurrection. And Paul is telling the people that that is the central part of our faith, that there was a resurrection, that Jesus came back and people saw him. Cephas or Peter saw him, and the other apostles saw him, and finally, well, 500 people saw him, and then, very last of all, Paul saw the risen Jesus. And so he's telling them, it's important that you know this. Now, resurrection is not only in the New Testament and in the Gospels. It's also in the book of Ezekiel. And it's in that most famous chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 37, where the Lord takes Ezekiel, puts him in the valley of the dry bones, all of these bones, has him go all around them, all through the valley, and then God asks him a question. God says, Ezekiel, no, he doesn't say Ezekiel's name, actually. He says, "Mortal, mortal, can these bones live?" Now, I have to believe that God did not expect Ezekiel to answer that question, because that is not the kind of knowledge that we as mortals have. That's a God kind of knowledge. That's a God kind of question. And so Ezekiel, smart guy that he is, says, "Oh, Lord God, you know," because this is God knowledge. This is God kind of stuff. And then God gives Ezekiel answers that he is to pass on to these very dry bones. First, God says, "Tell these bones that I'm going to put them back together. I'm going to put sinews on them, and I'm going to put flesh on them, and I'm going to put skin on them. I'm going to put them back together." And Ezekiel tells them, and it happens. The bones come together, and they have flesh, and they have skin, but they're still dead. And so God tells Ezekiel, "Tell them that the breath is going to come on them, and then they have breath, and they're alive." And finally, God says to Ezekiel, "Tell them, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people." These people that these dry bones represent, they had lost everything. Their identity, their country, their language, the access to their most holy place where they worship God. They have lost everything. And then God tells Ezekiel to speak to them and say, "Though you are as good as dead, I will pull you up from the grave. I will put flesh back on your bones. I will put breath in your body, and I will take you back home. When everything you know has been taken away, that is a kind of death. That is a kind of going down into the grave. Sometimes you need resurrection even though you are not quite dead. And resurrection is a God thing. Resurrection is not a confession. Resurrection is not a theory. Resurrection is not a doctrine. It is not some ambiguous promise. No, resurrection is real. Resurrection is relationship with God. Resurrection is Jesus Christ, who is always with us. That is a word of hope. That is a word to give us courage. And we shouldn't take it for granted. Even when we're fearful, even when we're isolated, even when we do Easter in August outside with the cows mooing in the background, that's who we are. Resurrected people. And being out here might remind us that God never promised that our worship services would always be inside, didn't promise us that they would always be grand, didn't promise us that the economy would always be flourishing. God didn't tell us that our health is guaranteed or our lives and our future will turn out the way we want them. God, in and through the incarnated, crucified, and risen Christ, has never promised those things. But rather, at the heart of the gospel is the promise that God is both with us and for us at all times and through all conditions. In sorrow or joy, triumph or tragedy, gain or loss, peace or fear, scarcity or plenty, God is present. In the cross, God promises that he will be available to us and meet us, especially when we most need him and often least expect to find him, in hardship and struggle and loss and death. Because of the cross, there is no experience, no matter how difficult or terrible, that God is not with us and that God cannot pull resurrection from. God promises that all of the harsh realities of this life, hardship and struggle and loss and fear and disease and hunger and death, these realities, though painful, do not have the last word in our lives. Rather, the resurrection promises that God's light is more powerful than darkness, that God's love is stronger than hate, and that the life God offers through Christ prevails over all things, even death itself. Witnessing a death, whether it's the death of a loved one or the death of a relationship or the death of a cherished way of life, is painful. It hurts. But without death, there is no resurrection. Some things must die. Sometimes it's first love. Sometimes it's a dear friend or a cherished partner. But we would never want to deny the ones we love deeply new life, that tomb-emptying salvation that changes everything forevermore. It is the ultimate love song from God, whose love never ceases, who brings hope out of desolation and light out of darkness. I think about that, and I think about how John Prine wrote some songs about heaven, and I think about him singing in heaven. He also said first thing he was going to do when he got to heaven was smoke a cigarette. I think he quit once he got lung cancer, but that was something he wanted to do. When we think about those that we love having new life, that's resurrection. Remember how Mary Magdalene went to the tomb at sunrise and she saw Jesus standing there and she didn't recognize him? And then he called her by name and she knew him? Jesus is out ahead of us, calling us to life, dragging us out of the grave. Jesus knows us and loves us and calls us by name. These are not insignificant things. Like the disciples of old, may we find the faith and courage, not simply to survive, but also to flourish in this new reality we find ourselves in. And perhaps it's worth remembering that this small gathering of disciples, once they were called and named and sent by Jesus, they changed the world. Which just might be what happens once again. For we are Easter people, and the empty tomb holds the promise of new life. We are people of the resurrection. Amen. Oh, those are the most beautiful horn honks I ever heard. Well, I thank everyone who made it possible that we could be here in this parking lot this morning. Everyone who's participated in the worship service, everybody who set this up. It is quite a production, and they are wonderful folks. And I appreciate everyone who's given of their finances as well. Let us pray. Gracious God, you give us life and love and light. Help us to return to you some of what you have given us out of your generosity and abundance. Lord, bless what we offer to you. Bless it and help us to use it to serve those around us, to share the good news of the resurrection and that hope and promise of new life. Amen. You know what? I don't know if we have any announcements. We have been taking up collection for Backpack Pals and also some snack items and diapers for our food pantry folks. So all sizes, any sizes. So we lift that up to you. We'll probably do that through August. And I heard my phone go off. I'm going to see if we have I don't think that was a prayer request. I know that as schools, teachers are going back for teacher work days, students are preparing to go back to school, administrators are making decisions. We need to pray for all of those folks. It's hard to make decisions in the midst of something that we just don't thoroughly understand. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus Christ. We thank you for the joy that comes on Easter morning, but Lord, help us to feel that joy, not just on Easter. Help us to rise up from our beds every day and say, this is a new day. This is a new day and a new chance and a fresh start. Lord, help us to feel your Holy Spirit each day. Let us live out the promise of the resurrection. Let us spread it throughout our community. Because Christ lives, may we also live in the fullness of life. Let us bring the gift of new life in the form of hope to those who find themselves in despair. Let the resurrection resound that we might bring friendship to the lonely, forgiveness to the penitent, kindness to the mean-spirited, calm to the angry, hospitality to those who feel unworthy of such a gift, fortitude for those whose strength is waning, peace to those who are hostile, a helping hand to those who feel overwhelmed, acceptance to those who feel cast off, and a welcome smile to those who are strangers in our midst. And always give us the gift of grace so that we might share it with the world, this love and forgiveness that comes without us having to do a thing. Lord, we pray for our children and ask that they might be devoted to your Son, Jesus Christ. Give them passion for you in their hearts, minds, and souls. May we all cherish your affection above all else. And Lord, we pray for those who must make difficult decisions in the midst of so many unknowns. Remind us that this is a day of new life because every day brings new life. Gives us eyes to see and ears to hear the great good news. Let us live in the assurance of the presence of a loving God who gave his Son that we might know what a life of love looks like. Lord, all this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Susan. We certainly appreciate those words of encouragement on this celebration of Easter here in August. We're going to conclude our service today by singing two very familiar Easter songs, Up From the Grave He Arose and He Lives. Please sing, roll down your windows so I can hear you. Everybody sing at home.
My Lord, up from the grave. rose of victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose,
he arose,
he arose,
he arose.
Hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose,
he arose,
he arose,
he arose.
Hallelujah, Christ arose. Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever foes may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives,
he lives,
he lives,
he lives.
Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives,
he lives,
he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see loving care, and though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives,
he lives,
he lives,
he lives.
Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives,
he lives,
he lives,
he lives,
salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you.
Remember, Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.